I had an unusual Christmas Eve this year. Well, some of you know that it fell on the 24th this year. And the result of that was I got an unusually high number of calls or texts that day. And, you know, all my kids were home. And it was strange. Kind of how much suffering, sadness just kind of kept breaking through on Christmas Eve. One was a new cancer diagnosis. One was kind of a cancer finality. One was a marital separation. One was someone that had lost a parent about 5-6 weeks before and was inconsolable. I say all that to say that Christmas Eve, a little stressful anyway for me, and that just kind of put my stress at like a 9. Excusing myself from my family and taking these calls and being kind of barren with it. It was weird. It was an unusual collision of sorrow and anxiety. But the great news about the Christmas season, probably for you too, is how much baking goes on. And in God's goodness, eternally, some of our people share that baking with us. We had a whole corner of our kitchen that's just set apart with like goodies. One of our neighbors across the street brought all this Greek stuff, some baklava. One of our people in our community group brought these like chocolate-covered peanut butter balls. Somebody did a whole new take on just a salty, dark chocolate. You can imagine what I was doing kind of all Christmas Eve long. I just kept going to that corner of the kitchen and I just kept eating. And I just kept like, I've got to have more baklava. I've got to have another one of these Buckeyes. I know none of you ever eat for comfort. I know that's true. But I do. And I was like eating like it was my job on Christmas Eve. And you know what? It did provide some comfort. I was like, oh, that feels for like 60, 90, 120 seconds. I was like, that feels really good. That feels really good. Clark Griswold with the eggnog. I was like, okay. And then, of course, I have to go to the services and face that. But at our church on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And 3 times that evening, I got to say, here's the source of comfort. You know, Jesus, in his tenderness to me, kind of had to awaken me out of my sugar narcoleptic reverie. Because what I want to do when I'm under that kind of stress and facing those kind of expectations is escape. Escape. I would have had a lot of bourbon if I could have, if I wasn't preaching 3 times. Watch some Netflix, watch Christmas Vacation again, anything to escape the pain. And here's what the supper does. It comes and it offers us true and lasting comfort. And it does it at the cost of his pain, his suffering, his anxiety, the pressure he faced in the garden and endured on that cross. You see, we eat for comfort too, don't we, spiritually? We feed on him because we have no hope in this life or the next without this, without blood and body, without Jesus sacrificed, without Jesus our substitute. And I can take my terrible sophomoric tendencies toward overeating sugar. I can pivot those spiritually and say, Jesus, if I need sugar that much, how much do I need you? If I need comfort that much that a Reese's peanut butter cup provides, how much more can this provide by faith? How much more lasting, more secure, more hopeful, more liberating? If that isn't you this evening, you're not a Christian. Thank you for coming on a cold, wet, even snowy Sunday night. Glad you're here. What I would encourage you to think about is that Jesus offers you a whole lot more than this sacrament. He offers you himself. But this table's for Christians. And income poops, ethical failures, those that can't pull it together and haven't kept it together. addicts, and the arrogant. That's good news if you're a sinner. That's good news if you're weary and heartbroken. But if you're proud, if you have a fist raised at him, let's just get right with him first. Just bend your knee, cry out mercy. But if you're a Christian, this table's for you. Let's consecrate it with prayer. And so, Father, we ask that you would bind our hearts to your Son, Jesus. Through your Spirit, we would see just how lovely he is. And that loveliness would compel us and liberate us from all the lesser loves and the lesser affections we have. We pray that you would give us a clearer view of Christ. And we pray that you would do that through feeding us today by bread and wine. Ordinary things make supernatural. So glorify yourself in heaven through ordinary means. Transform these elements to our spiritual good and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to go ahead and open the top of your little canister there. And as you open it and take out your little wafer, let me remind you that on the night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body and it's broken for you. Take and eat, all of you, and remember, I ministering in his name, do say, take and eat." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup, it's the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you, for as often as you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you proclaim my death until I come again." Until that day, he just keeps feeding us with himself by faith. Take and drink. Let's pray. Father, nourish us. We thank you. We're unworthy. Nourish us. We lack joy and confidence and hope. Nourish us. Give us Christ. Father, show your beauty. Holy Spirit, increase our love and obedience. Do it all for your glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.